All right, VoiceOver Body Shop, live from Voice Tracks West in Studio City.
That's right.
What are we going to be doing here tonight?
We're going to take a tour of this glorious studio. We're going to talk to the proprietor. Andy is sitting right over there. And I'm looking forward to asking a lot of really nerdy tech questions.
Ooh. Everybody's eyes are going to roll to the back of their head. And we've got the news and lots of fun stuff, so join us on VoiceOver Body Shop coming up next.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere, together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop. And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Hi, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
Good to be getting together again. And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
All right. Well, we're here at Voice Tracks West. This has been a grueling month of remotes and technical challenges, but I think we finally got it solved tonight.
I think so, but we're going to find out. If you're watching this show, you'll know that we've made it. But yeah, it's been a real interesting technical challenge. I mean, I can tell you from firsthand experience, I've been a little hard on myself, you know.
Just a little bit.
Things not going as well as I would like them to. But we've learned a heck of a lot, and we've learned about what we can handle by ourselves, what we need help with, what stuff we need to add to the system to make it work better, what we take away, you know. So hopefully tonight will be the smoothest show to date, at least remote show.
It'll be the best show we do tonight, though.
That's for sure. This is, by the way, folks watching this for the first time, this is not a typical show.
No.
These are remotes, but we're not actually in our home studio. We're out and about at different locations around L.A.
So. Right. And tonight we're at Voice Tracks West in Studio City, which has been here for a long time. We're going to talk to Andrew, talk about the history of the studio and all that sort of stuff. But first we have to thank our sponsors.
Yes, we do.
Like Harlan Hogan.
And VoiceOver Extra.
Edge Studio.
Source Elements.
Rehearsal App and VO2GoGo.
And also Antland Productions. Where you can get yourself a killer demo.
Killer. Absolutely killer.
Killer, man.
Yeah. And now it's, if I can get this to work right.
Uh-huh.
You know.
What are we going to do? The news?
We're going to do the news.
And now, the VoiceOver Extra, VOBS News. The latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news. Brought to you.
All right. The news for tonight. Watch out for malware. When you're walking a dangerous street, you keep your eyes and mind open for signs of danger. You don't usually step and trip along oblivious of threats. Well, your email inbox can be just as scary and threatening. Our friend Tom Deere, a voiceover pro in the New York City area, reports this experience on a recent Friday evening. Sounds like a Dashiell Hammett novel. I had a recording session in New Jersey in the morning and one in New York City in the afternoon. I got home about 5:30 p.m. during the day. A client emailed me with a one-sentence revision for an old project. No problem. I'll bang it out, then put my feet up for the night. As I was about to start recording another client called me, also needing a one-sentence revision for an old project. Cool. Two sentences, and I'm free. I set everything up, got in the booth, and hit the red button. Nothing. Adobe Audition was recording, but no sound was being picked up by my mic. I switched mics. Nothing. I tried Audacity instead of Adobe Audition. Nothing. I looked at my Scarlett 2i2 preamp, and the mic seemed to work. The green ring lit up when I talked into the mic. I plugged the Scarlett 2i2 into my laptop, and then everything worked perfectly. I recorded the two sentences on my laptop and saved the sound files in the Dropbox. I opened up the files in Adobe Audition on my desktop to see if I could edit them there. Everything worked perfectly. Then I called my buddy Sean Caldwell, everybody's buddy, and we discovered that in Windows 10 on my desktop PC, Levels under Line In Properties was muted. He helped me reinstall the 2i2 driver. It worked. Hooray. But was Tom Deere home free? No way. The next day, he experienced the same mysterious muting. He did a Google search about the problem and turned up the culprit. Malware. That's the software that sneaks into your computer via an email and plays tricks on your system. A simple scan of your computer by antivirus software will find these devils and delete them for you. And do you have antivirus software? Right. But you've got to do those scans often. Set them to run automatically, every day. Tom also recommends backing up your files and hard drive often. Carbonite is a popular online program that does this automatically. And every few months, Tom does a manual backup to an external hard drive. I do that every day. And finally, he says, be sure to turn on your firewall. And while this is a pain in the tuchus, password protect your computer. Because, folks, the email street can be a dangerous place. You'll find more of Tom's advice in an upcoming article at voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success.
I like the drama you added to that.
I know. I guess John wrote that, I guess, sort of as a bit of a novel type thing. Yeah, sort nice of a job. Noir news.
No, I like that. I like that.
All right.
So let me get this straight. So he actually got a virus, and the virus actually somehow changed his audio settings?
It's apparently that's what he says.
That's crazy. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. Well,
I will say that it's one little picadillo I have. Is that the right word?
A picadillo.
Little thing I have
picadillo.
The problem I have with Windows is if you don't use, when you go into your recording software, there are often 3, 4, or 5 different drivers that you can choose from for your software. Like, which one do you use? And it can be really confusing.
Yeah.
It depends on what your goals are. Generally, if there's an audio driver in there that says ASIO or ASIO,
yeah,
I don't know what
screwed.
That stands for. Andrew might know what that acronym stands for, but ASIO means that your audio driver is connected to your audio hardware and to your software in the most direct path possible. That's what I understand. So if you're using an ASIO driver, the likelihood of a muting things in the Windows control panel is very unlikely, because Windows' control panel isn't in the signal chain
right.
If you're using an ASIO driver. So just a little tip that I can recommend. Right.
We had another tech question tonight, too, from somebody.
Oh, yeah, we did. Let me see if I can find that real quick.
Okay.
It was regards to, from Drac Heller, actually. He says, could the guys give insight on using a cloud lifter as opposed to turning up the gain to 11? My shotgun mic requires lots of gain compared to my MXL condenser. That's weird. I mean, because most shotgun mics have a pretty high output.
I mean, we're using 416s in here right now for the show, and they're great mics.
Yeah,
because they'll pick up from a good long distance, and they're usually wall to wall.
Yeah,
with plenty of room to spare.
It's kind of odd that Drac would ask a technical question and not give me any technical details. That makes it hard, because I don't know what software he's using or what microphone he's using for the shotgun mic. Is it an AT-875R? Is it a condenser? Is it a dynamic? I mean, there are really old condenser mics, actually dynamic mics that are shotguns.
Right.
It's rare, but they do exist. So it's hard to say, but let me just get to the cloud lifter part. The cloud lifter interrupts the flow of power from your phantom power. So if you're using a condenser mic, it will not pass phantom power to the condenser mic. So as soon as you plug in the cloud lifter, no phantom power. They're designed to work with ribbon mics or dynamic mics that don't have or require phantom power. That those devices need the extra boost. That's where the cloud lifter comes in. So you know what? Without knowing more details, it's kind of a try it and see, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if it's really going to make the difference you're looking for. But check to see if your mic is a shotgun, is a condenser, if your shotgun's a condenser. It probably is. And there is a workaround, and I don't know when you'd want to do this, but you could get a phantom power supply that you connect to the output of the mic into the cloud lifter, so you're phantom powering the mic before it goes in the cloud lifter. I mean, I've heard of people doing that, but by the time you buy all those pieces and string them all together, you might as well probably just get a better mic, maybe, or a better preamp. I don't know.
Right.
We'd love to find out more details. Send us an email. Oh, actually, and somebody is filling in some more details. I'm thinking Drac might be in the chat room. It's an AT8035.
An 8035?
I don't know that mic that well. I think it's one of their more budget shotgun mics. It might be a mic that runs on batteries, possibly.
That's possible. Some of these
cheaper mics have battery power supplies.
Yeah.
If there's a AA battery.
Transistors and tubes.
Yeah, yeah. If there's a AA battery
electric
in there.
Electric condenser mic.
It could be that, yeah.
It could be.
If there's a battery in there, that battery could be dying or dead. That would cause some problems.
Change your battery.
So try that out. But anyway, thanks for asking that question.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk with Andrew Feliciano, the owner and chief bottle washer here at Voice Tracks West in Studio City, as we continue Studio Month on VOBS. So do not go away. We shall be right back.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Voiceover Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years? And your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records? And you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running? And the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon? And the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AtlantProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world you'll never give up, never give up, never give up.
Wow, this is VOBS.
Hey everybody, it's George Whittem. We're back, and I wanted to thank one of our sponsors whose tools we are using tonight to bring this show to you, and that is Source Elements. They're the creators of Source Connect. And Source Connect is an amazing tool for connecting studios between studios, whether that be a home studio, commercial studios. Some commercial studios use it between them to do ADR. There's all sorts of different ways it can be used. But what Source Connect does is it streams audio in real time back and forth, and it does it at very, very high quality and very reliably. And now, pretty affordably too, because where you had to buy the software outright before, you can now use Source Connect Standard on a monthly recurring license that has become a much more affordable than it used to be. So the barrier to entry has never been lower. And also, if you're not quite ready to take the plunge for Source Connect, you can try their free beta software that runs only on Chrome web browsers right now, and that's called Source Connect Now. That's actually what we're using to send the audio from this studio back to the mothership where it's going out to you guys right now. So it's great stuff. I highly recommend it, and you should give it a try. Get a 15-day free trial over at source-elements.com. And if you have a chance to let them know where you heard about it, please tell them it came from VOBS so they know where their ad dollars are going. We'd really appreciate it. We'll be right back here at Voice Tracks West with me, Dan, and Andrew in just a minute.
Wow. This is VOBS? Yep, this is VOBS. Proven anybody can have a show these days. Yep, this is...
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS in VOBS.TV.
All right, we're back here on Voice Over Body Shop, Voice Tracks West, and we'd like to welcome to his own studio, Andrew Feliciano, owner and chief engineer at Voice Tracks West. Mm-hmm. How long has this facility been around, and what got you started with this?
So it's been a long, long road. Voice Tracks was started in 1983 by Tom Pinto, and which a lot of people wouldn't even know that. And
I knew I heard that name from somewhere. Yeah. Tom Pinto opened this place.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah.
one of the donors on our show for some
reason. Sure. Yeah. So,
thanks, dude.
Totally. So he's you know, and he's now, you know, does voiceover. He lives up in kind of Bay Area, I think, and does does voiceover. And but then in the early 90s, it was sold to a voiceover couple, Jan Rapson and Cindy Akers. And Jan was a voice actor, and Cindy is a director. And so they owned it for a good 15 years or so, and they hired me in 2002. So I came on in 2002. I was actually just doing an internship from doing, you know, schooling for audio. After doing, I did an undergraduate in computer science and then got into pro audio. And so anyway, so I was just a kind of intern and turned kind of into the staff engineer. And then in 2008, I took over the studio. So now I've, coming up on 9 years owning it, which is, been a wild ride. Just kind of continuing what Voice Tracks West does and just doing studio stuff, changing with the times, you know, which I'm sure is a common topic.
Yeah. Now Voice Tracks West specializes in voiceover, where you've got a lot of recording studios here in Southern California. Mm-hmm. This one is specifically does voiceover. Why is that? And what does that really require as opposed to, you know, recording music and stuff like that?
For sure. So we have all the same basic equipment that you would have at, you know, doing a music studio. But some of the things, like music studios, tend to have more outboard gear and you know, a different selection of microphones, you know, even software, instruments hanging around. So we don't really have any of all that. You know, most of our stuff is...
Yeah, there's no guitars hanging
around. There's no guitars hanging around, yeah. But the same basic elements, you know, are the same. Booths are smaller than you might generally have. Although, you know, obviously with voiceover, you can use a bigger booth for doing ensemble recording, that kind of stuff. So we do mostly, you know, 2-3 people max. But a lot of it's just the knowledge of kind of what voiceover is like engineering. You know, it's a lot more, I've always likened it kind of, it's a in between being like a music engineer and being a broadcast engineer, because it's very active in what you're doing. You know, music, you do a setup and you do a couple of things and you hit record a bunch of times. And in broadcast, you're constantly switching between things and switching between mics and coming back and forth. And, you know, but you just hit record. Whereas in voiceover, it's like record a take. This is it. Put together an edit. You know, there's a lot kind of involved. Oh, you need more of this. You need more of that. Oh, now I need to manage my files and, you know, things. So it's kind of an in-between thing. And so it's actually that music engineers tend to not know that. And so it's just kind of that special knowledge, you know, that makes us unique.
Yeah. And how busy is this place? I mean, I know every time I'm here, there's always something going on. So you're booked pretty solid here.
We are. It's, you know, like everything, it's, you know, things have changed a lot. So we have our toes in just a little bit of everything. So we have three production rooms that we do sessions out of, commercial sessions. We have an audition director that works here who we'll meet later, Art Butler, and actors can come in and do their auditions and get some direction. We have a demo producer, and we have a self-service booth, which is kind of new, which we'll probably take a little tour of. Mm-hmm. We have our toes in a little bit of everything. But commercially, that's really our day-to-day. So tons of ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patches, you know, recording, just the whole gamut of stuff, narration, lots of commercials. We do a bunch of phone systems and some text-to-speech, which is kind of a specialized area of recording we've gotten into recently. We stay pretty busy, you know, every week. It's up and down. And, you know, even if you do voiceover, you know, it's like, oh, this week is, you have a lot of stuff and then nothing and then whatever. And
voiceover is like the political process.
So we certainly ride that wave, you know, where last week was pretty busy for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And this week is, you know, not much today, not much tomorrow, but Wednesday and Thursday are, you know, more. So it's the ups and downs of entertainment in general. Really,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now this is kind of a unique place for a studio because this is a big commercial plaza that we're in.
Yeah.
You know, next to the big Vons over here with the guy guarding the parking lot with an M16. Mm-hmm. The parking is always fun around here.
Yeah.
But any special challenges being in a building like this?
Oh boy, there are a lot. Yeah, this building is my nemesis, but we love it as well. So it's a unique thing having a commercial studio because you want to protect yourself from noise. So when they just found this place, it's very far from the street. You know, where we actually are in the commercial building. So we actually don't have pretty much any street noise. Mm-hmm. And that can be a big challenge for a lot of studios.
You've got at least two restaurants buffering
exactly,
the noise.
Exactly, yeah. We have as big, you know, that, you know. But then we have noise, you know, from the roof. You know, when it rains, they come in and walk on the roof a little bit. So we have that. Or we have, there's a cobblestone walkway out front. And so when the, you know, people are doing deliveries to the restaurant, we hear some of that. And so there's a gym downstairs, which gives us a, but most of these things, we just kind of manage it and it's fine. But we have great parking and we're super centrally located in the city and have a restaurant next door and a coffee shop downstairs. And, right. You know, things that a lot of studios just don't have access to that because they tend to be kind of off the beaten path a little bit. So it's a trade-off.
Yeah. I mean, you can't beat the locality. It's just, it's amazing being able to just get in here and get out really easily. That parking downstairs is gold.
I mean, yeah, for sure.
That is just so nice. There's so many places where parking is a nightmare. Mm-hmm. Man, so it's great. But yeah, there's so much great stuff around here within like a 2-minute walk to eat.
Yeah, there's a bunch. Yeah, two coffee shops and a bunch of restaurants and, you know, fast casual stuff. And so that makes it, you know, we don't really need a big kitchen, you know, and staff a big kitchen, you know. So whereas like, you know, bigger studios have that and it's very costly for them to maintain those big kitchens.
Yeah, especially when you have a supermarket right up the
top. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Have you had a lot of big stars come in here and record stuff?
Yeah, we certainly do. We get, and if I mean, I think many, you know, studios would say the same thing, is that many of the people we get are near us. You know, and that's and I'm actually sensitive to it because, you know, driving in LA is not easy. So having a studio that is close to you. So the celebrities that have come to us tend to be, they live close. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen them in a while, but, you know, George Clooney is the one big one who just lives right around the corner, has the first house he bought in the 90s when he was on ER, and he still owns that place. And so he's come in, you know, we've done a few things with him over the years, Fantastic Mr. Fox and a couple other, you know, big ADR things, you know, he's done some commercial stuff that he does once in a while. So that, you know, that's fun, you know, it's fun. But certainly like lots of other things as it comes up, just someone we know, a producer, and they're working on a movie. And so we'll have, you know, celebrities come in here and there. It's not our everyday and that we do, but it certainly happens, and that's fun, you know. But it's, you know, we're all just actors, you know.
Right.
You know, even the day-to-day kind of voiceover, you know, people that we see are, you know, they're actors just the same as these celebrities.
That's, yeah, you don't have paparazzi hanging out ever.
We don't, yeah.
Which is good. I mean, actors want to know they can go somewhere, get their work done, and go home and not be bothered, you know, it's very incognito.
For sure. And I've always taken the stance, too, and I think part of this comes from my own personality, is that I don't publicize any of that at all. You guys were at Mark Rao's, and he loves that. Like, that's his thing. Well, that's his thing.
You've got an entire hallway.
He's got a whole hallway, yeah, for sure. It's his thing. And so it's just, I never sort of went that way of doing it. And I think there's, you know, especially with people like George Clooney, like, who just want to pop in and pop out.
Right.
And, you know, that works well for kind of where we are and everything. So
that's funny. Nobody's, you never pointed that out, and I never really thought about it. But, you know, there is no Wall of Fame or walls lined with photos, you know. It's just like people come and go, and there's just none of that going on.
I've tried to think of some things to do that would be kind of a fun thing, of maybe having like a autograph book. Mm-hmm. or I started a thing which I'm once I build it up, I might do is doing a bookshelf of you know, people who have come in or people we know that write books, and I'll have a signed book and have a bookshelf of people who have come in and will have a signed book of theirs. Lots of people, so something that's just like a little bit you know, under the radar, but you know, kind of would be, even just for myself, memories of kind of, you know, different things that have come through. So
Now, one of the other things that, you know, that I've noticed, and I, ever since, you know, when I was living in the East and knowing the Voice Tracks West, there's a lot of education that goes on here and making sure that people are well-trained and that sort of thing. What are some of the services you offer to help people out who are getting going?
Yeah, so we've We've done Bob Bergen's class for probably 20 years. And so that had always happened. And now it's become, we do lots of classes. I mean, almost every day of the week, we offer classes. Mary Lynn Wissner from Voices Voice Casting does her workshops here. And then Bob Bergen, Mark Cashman occasionally does classes here. Kathy Cavadini, who's an actress, does a great animation class here occasionally. And then we offer our own classes. Susan Palio, who we'll meet later, who's our demo producer here, she does classes. And yeah, so we've just become quite a hub for offering classes. And I like that. We have the space to do it. You know, it's not being used at night or on the weekends, you know, all that much. Once in a while, we run into kind of collisions on that. But most of the time, you know, let's use the space to kind of uplift, you know, people and train new people. And Yeah.
And there's a lot of them here.
For sure. This is the place for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how many people, you know, I was just going through our Facebook roster tonight, like, everybody is in voiceover now, and it's you gotta learn somewhere. Might as well learn in a good place
with
good equipment. Mm-hmm. Well, we're gonna take a tour in a couple of minutes here and show everybody this great facility. It's not huge, but there's a lot to it.
We pack it in.
That's what we
want. It's efficient.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing. So we're gonna take a break right now. We'll go to the remote camera, and hopefully that'll all work really well. And we'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Don't go away.
Wow. This is VOBS?
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis. Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios. Who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
You know, it's great being in professional studios like this because we get to see where a lot of the nitty-gritty of being a voice actor is all about. You know, we have our home studios. We do a lot of work out of those. We try to make you, you know, do it properly. But a lot of that's for auditioning. And then you've got to go into a nice studio and work with the other professionals and the advertising agencies and the clients and all that kind of stuff. And it's important to know what you're going to be doing before you go in there. And one of the things that David H. Lawrence XVII likes for us to do is to memorize that which we're doing. Now, a lot of times you come into a studio, they're like, here's your copy. Okay, fine. But if you've got time, if you've got the copy beforehand, sometimes it helps to memorize it or become really, really familiar with it. So when you're reading the copy in the booth, you're impressing the heck out of the person who is directing or producing because it's like you're not reading it. You've got it down. You understand it. And one of the ways you can do that is by using a great app called Rehearsal App. And you can get it at rehearsal.pro. You just put it on your iPhone or your iPad, and it's got a process that helps you memorize your lines. Great if you're a stage actor or if you're going to be doing film work or being on camera. Great to you got to memorize your lines for that. But in voiceover, what a great opportunity to really familiarize yourself with stuff a little bit better instead of just cold reading it all the time, maybe even for your auditions. And then once you do your auditions, you can use the Rehearsal app to actually record and send your auditions. So it's got everything you could possibly need as a voice actor. And we're gonna have to get to demonstrate this thing when we get David back on the show one of these days. But you can get this amazing app over at rehearsal.pro. Go over to rehearsal.pro, get it on your iPhone, check it out. Not expensive. It's approved by Apple. It works really, really well. And it will help you be a better actor and voice actor. And David H. Lawrence the 17th guarantees that it'll help you out. So give it a try over at rehearsal.pro. And we'll be back here at Voice Tracks West right after this.
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS in VOBS.TV.
VOBS. Proven anybody can have a show these days. Yep, this is VOBS. Proven anybody can have a show these days. Yep, this is VOBS. Proven anybody can have a show these days. Yep, this is...
And we're back, and welcome Susan Pellio to our show.
Hello, sir.
Nice to see you again. Now, what are your jobs here at Voice Tracks West?
So what I do here at Voice Tracks is I produce voiceover demos, commercial and animation primarily, some narration. I don't do promo because that's not my thing. So I do that during the day and do some private study teaching and stuff. And then in the evenings, not every evening, but evenings and some weekends, I teach beginning, intermediate, and sometimes advanced commercial and animation voiceover. So I'm usually running, you know, at least one of those at a time. Oftentimes I'm doing commercial and animation at the same time. You know, they're separate classes.
Right. But, just running between the studios.
And not on the
I'll be right
day.
Back.
So I teach the classes, and like usually I'll do a batch of three or four beginning ones, and then I'll slip in an advanced one for people, you know, as it get enough people begging me for that. Once in a while I do an actual session here too, but, you know, engineer it, because that's how I came to it, was from the engineering side originally.
Very cool. Now, what goes into producing a demo, at least here at Voice Tracks West? What's the process like?
So, first of all, don't make a demo until you're ready to make a demo.
That's good to know.
How do you know when you're ready to make a demo? When you don't have to ask somebody if you're ready to make a demo.
Okay. Makes sense.
But ask somebody. But, you know, we make sure that people are prepared, because we don't want to make demos for... We don't want to make a demo that's not going to serve you for a long time. We don't want to make a demo that 6 months later you go, oh, I should have waited. And,
right.
You know, so we make sure you've done training and are ready to go. So then we have a consultation where you get together with me for, like, really we only need to be there for like 20 minutes, but we get together for an hour because we get off on tangents talking about kids and pets and the LA Kings, go Kings, and, things like that. And so we meet for about an hour, you know, I find out what classes and things you've taken, and then, you know, what styles you think you should be doing. And then I say, hey, you should maybe try something like this as well. And we listen to some of the demos that I've done, or ones that I think maybe I haven't done, but I know of, that I'm like, oh, you'd be, you know, your demo should be kind of like this one. And
Do you pick the scripts for them?
And then so after the consultation, it's usually like a week and a half to 2 weeks after the consultation that we do the recording. And in the meantime, I pull a bunch of scripts for them, because we are a full-time studio, and our auditioning service, we have tons and tons of scripts around here. And I also get things from magazines and various places. But so then I send you ahead of time usually, like for a commercial demo, I usually send about 15 choices, of which we usually record about 12, 13, four, sometimes we record them all. And then about 7 or 8 max end up on the final version. Mm-hmm. But I like to have a lot of things to pick from, especially if you're a beginner and you're still finding your way. So we record a lot of things and see what comes out the best. You know, if we do like 4 warm and fuzzy, healthcare-y, banky type things, and that we have plenty to pick from to see which comes out the best. And then it's usually about another 2 to 3 weeks after the recording for the done deal, because I'm usually working on a lot of demos at the same time, so it takes me a little while to get to that. And also, I like to, after our recording, I whittle everything down, especially with the animation demos. I whittle it down to the takes that I like, and I make that into a dry cut and send that to you. So make sure you like everything, you like your performances, so you can always come back in and change stuff. And even once it's kind of almost done, you can always still come back in and fix something too.
Absolutely. So it takes over a month to really produce something like this.
Yeah. I'm trying to streamline it, but stuff always happens.
You're doing a lot of demos, and it's a busy studio. But this is a great place to get that sort of thing done, where you've got a great facility like this and lots of staff and somebody professional who does it all the time.
Yeah, that's what I do every day, and I love it. And we have a great music library that we're always getting it updated. And I watch a lot of TV, so I listen to what music's going on the actual commercials and what styles and things are going on.
Now, do you talk to casting directors and agents about the type of demos that they want? And do you have a lot of interaction with them?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of interaction with casting people too often. Every once in a while, I'll sneak in one of Mary Lynn's sessions and listen in on that just to see what they're talking about. But the agents, I work a lot with quite a few of the agents around town. And so they each agency has specific styles that they like as well. So I'm pretty attuned to those. And, so if it's a person that already has an agent, it's a little bit different approach as well, because I know what their specific agent likes. And then also the agent will always have input and ideas. And, some agencies want it to be exactly a minute and others don't care. It can be up to like a minute and a half. I usually don't try to go that long, but sometimes I send the agent the first cut and I'm like, this is kind of long. And they're like, no, we love it. It's perfect. It's going on Voice Bank today. I'll be like, okay. Then.
So, they don't know until they hear it.
Exactly.
So it's, it's always a really flexible process, and I think that's what keeps it really fresh for me. It's never the same.
Yeah. Now let's talk a little bit about some of the classes you have here. Because Voice Tracks West is well known for having classes. You said Mary Lynn Wisner is in here, and Mark Cashman and a few other people are in here all the time. Is there a class like every day or 3 times a week? And how does someone who happens to be in this area get into the classes?
Sure. Mary Lynn usually has her Meet the Agent, Meet the Pros things on like Tuesdays and Thursdays. Bob Bergen's things on Tuesdays when he's got his. Mine are usually on Wednesday nights and Saturday mornings. And I keep them as inexpensive as I can, and I also do a 4-week format, so it's not a huge time commitment, because even with that format, people always have things come up and have to miss class. So I try really hard to, condense it as much as possible. So you have this 4-week format, and I cover a lot of bases, since I've been doing this for a really long time. I know what's going on, and because we're a full-time recording studio, I, at least have some sense of what's going on as well in the industry and everything. And so we talk a lot about the industry, and I tailor the class. It just kind of depends. It's interesting how it usually works out that the people tend to be in the same life place for some odd reason. And then my classes, like a group of everybody's already an actor, on-camera actor, and they're exploring voiceover. So then that's a little bit different energy than a group that everybody has a day job and are exploring voiceover. And I don't purposely try to group them like that. It just happens. But so the commercial class, we, start at ground zero. Here's a microphone. It's all about the acting, and we just go from there. And then animation class, usually I kind of request that people have done some other voiceover class, or you know, at least have an acting background, so that you're not just coming at it. But once in a while, there's that person that just loves animation, and oftentimes they jump right in, and they're great. So
animation is like over the top, always over the top.
And the animation class is a 4-week format as well. I touch on animation a little bit in the commercial class. The third week we do a little bit of that, just because I find that agents are often throwing people animation auditions, even if they don't have experience in it. So I like to give people at least a little taste of it. And it also just helps break you out of your shell. I find that then for the second half of that class, and then week 4, everybody's much more relaxed and like, wow, got that hard part out of the way. These commercial scripts are a piece of cake now.
Yeah, it's really. Like, when you're doing animation, you're like maintaining a character throughout an entire script. Not easy.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that are that talented that can really pull it off.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. Well, it sounds like you're a pretty busy lady here.
Try to be.
Well, we appreciate you coming and telling us all about it and what it takes to do that. And we're going to take a tour in a little bit and see where you do all this stuff in just a minute.
Oh, you're not going to look at my office. It's too messy.
We're going straight to her office.
Noted.
This is where the classes are, in this fabulous, beautiful room that you're seeing right now.
Excellent. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to take a look around in the studio. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO, too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some VoiceOver with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We pick the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittem.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
All right. See if we can get my face on cam here. Oh, there we go. That works. Okay. Are we getting actual audio here? It would appear we are. We have solved the mystery. So, okay, well, we're going to go mobile here, and we're going to take a look at VoiceTrax West. You know, everybody hears about this place, Andrew, but not a lot of people actually get here. I mean, we hear about it all over the country.
For sure.
Now we'll actually get to see this place. So, yeah. So why don't we start? Where do we start here? Well, let's look at this room first, actually.
Yeah, so this is our Studio A, and this is our big room, but modestly big. So we do classes and kind of bigger stuff in this room. And so that's that. And then we have two other smaller rooms. But I don't know if anyone's, I don't know, do people want to know what gear we have? So we're doing, we have Pro Tools 10 and 11 in here. 8 Pro Tools HD running into an Aurora 8 made by Lynx. So that's our interface. And we do have a Sync IO. Here, George, looking there. We have a Maya C1141, which is our ISDN box, and that also does an APT codec. Anyone's familiar with that, which is why we have that weird one. Patch Bay compressor. We don't use compressors much, so. So it's that. Then we have a Ghost, a 24-channel Soundcraft Ghost is our mixer. So we do more routing in here than in the other rooms. So then we have a Scarlett that we use for doing Source Connect. Hand down there. 2i2. Yeah. So we tend to do Source Connect with a separate interface, and just because there's a little bit of latency that there is, and it tends to get worse going through kind of Pro Tools and all that kind of stuff. So we kind of do it more how we do ISDN is how we tend to do SourceConnect stuff. Yeah, and then our preamps, we have these RNP, really nice preamp. It's just an RNP. It's a two-channel pre. And then we have a Millennia HV32, I think, as well. Yeah, and that's pretty much it. Mac, old Mac Pro. It's pretty cool. So that's a USB antenna, and there's a cell tower above us, an AT&T cell tower, and we've had a lot of trouble with it in the past when they are deploying new, so if they're deploying LTE or new things, and they start turning it on and testing it, and they're turning the power up really high and that, and sometimes we'll get hit by it in the booth. And so we have that antenna so that we can go and just kind of try to give information to their techs if we're getting, some RF like from there. So it's not an expensive one. They certainly, that RF stuff gets really expensive, but that's just a $20 USB one. So we can get some basic info. Yeah, that's pretty nerdy.
but important.
Yeah.
Now, studio monitors, what are we using
studio
here?
Studio monitors. So, these are the, the Dyne Audio, 5-inch Dyne Audios with the, those are the five. So it's the, they're the 5-inch Dyne Audios. So we have, those in, we have two sets of those, one in another room as well. And, we don't do a lot of mixing. I really like the Atom speakers, BM5A. Yeah. And so they have some 6-inch versions as well that are the newer ones that are a little more powerful. But they're good. They're fairly transparent, and but like anyone who knows audio, it's what you're used to. So, and we're pretty used to these speakers. So,
let's take a look in the booth here. Opening the door, let's go into the booth.
Yeah. Oh, look here, a falling mic.
Oh, that's not good.
It was not. So this is our Studio A, and we just redid this booth. And I'm really, really proud of how this came out. We redid it last winter. It is dead in here. And it was expensive.
Absolutely.
Expensive and time consuming. But everything, really came out really great. And you can scream your head off in here, and you just get no reflection, except you won't hear it on this mic. This corner, there's a little bit of a reflection in this corner, which is really annoying.
Hardly noticeable.
Only Andrew notices.
I love this booth now, and we put up some pretty lights and such, and TV. Yeah, so monitor
for ADR.
ADR. Sometimes it's just reference. You're doing a commercial spot, and it's like, oh, you want the actor wants to see it, just to see what they're voicing. So. There's that. And these LED lights are cool. Which they're so cheap. You can get a kit of 8 feet or something of LEDs for like $30. Right, and it comes with a controller, remote and stuff. It's really cool. Like if anyone's got their home booths and want to do that. It was really fun to do.
We actually have that at the VoiceOver Body Shop too. So it is fun. It can actually change the colors and stuff.
Yeah. It's got a remote. You can change the colors. Yeah.
Right. U87.
I have one fun thing if we're going to do nerdy things. So if you point down, there's a carpet down here that's covering the floor. And if I pull this up, you see that there's tape on there. So we do some sessions that require extremely precise mic placement and in the room. Kind of where it is in the room in relation to the actor. So we have tape on the floor so that we can place the mic, exactly the same place every time. I don't know, just something that I would think that most people don't do. And the carpet, we have a lot of traffic in here. So the carpet, protects the, that tape. So anyway, yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, where are we going next?
I guess across the hall.
Across the hall.
I think you can see we're still there. You're still there?
It looks like it. All right. This is all right. We're already ahead of the game here. All right.
So coming here, this is our Studio B.
Ooh. It's like Get Smart.
we had taken it apart a little bit to kind of put the mics up for this. So yeah, so there's not a mic in here. But yeah, I mean, this is just smaller booth. You know, this is, you know, if you build something in a built-in thing at home, this may be the size that a lot of you know, kind of a professional home booth might be something like this size. You know, where it's comfortable for one person. Yeah, we actually used to do dialogue for Kroger stores in here all the time. Which is a lot of fun.
Now, ventilation is important in a studio like this. Is there any special type of ventilation you've got in here?
We have a giant duct, right?
I see that.
Right here. And it's basically that. And actually this room, because of that, it gets freezing in here. But it's quiet. You don't hear any air coming. We do get a little, kind of building noise in here occasionally, on real hot days and things like that. But otherwise, like, it's, yeah, it's comfortable. We just have to fight the studio away because it gets hot in there because it's more equipment. And then this place suffers. So we play the game with the AC, which is anyone who's worked in an office, I'm sure, knows that game.
We'll just open the door and start flapping the door like we do at home.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what happens. Yeah. Yeah. This
And primarily this is for, just for commercial reads, or?
I mean, the same as we do in there. We just may not do, I mean, we did, 5 hours of Anne of Green Gables ADR in here, last year, you know, and, you know, so there's a TV in here. It can be done, but, you know, we'll put it in the bigger, the more dead, room, you know, if possible, but it totally, the more it's just comfort, as far as it works perfectly well.
Okay. Right. Well, let's move down the hall. Let's take a look at the control room for this one. See, now this one has the seats where the important people sit.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, so we can put a couple people in here who are directing, but, you know, modest. So an engineer and two people can fit in here for sessions. We actually don't have, clients here all that often, I'd say. It's the exception. We do have space for it, though. Part of it is also, you know, if you need to bring a lot of people, you go to one of the big studios and pay the big money. To do that, but certainly, you know, people come in here, and so yeah, the Dynaudio is in here as well. We have an X32 producer in here, which I really love, and I know George knows it well because he has the tiny baby version of it, and it's
back in the studio right now.
Yeah, for sure. And I love it. My lead engineer here, Paul, he's not a big fan of it. So we fight about that because it does so much, but it's a digital mixer. So it's kind of hard, to see things. So especially if you worked on, you know, analog consoles, or if you came up on analog consoles, you know, moving to these things is kind of a challenge. But it does so much. And so it's a tough thing. I love it. I'm pushing towards getting more of them. So.
Excellent. Now, up here, it looks like artwork, but it's actually for acoustical purposes and stuff. Because people don't realize when you're doing mixing in a room like this, the acoustics have to be right in here for the mixing too, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, and our this room, I wouldn't say, is not super tuned for mixing, but this certainly does keep it from being a little too live and having that, you know, room with not enough stuff in it sound. But certainly this is foam and gives it a little aesthetic, and the foam does better than if we were just to put up pictures and things like that. So, I don't know. I think we got this really cheap too, somewhere, cause this stuff is kind of expensive. This is Thorlex and, you know, in these shapes and, you know, someone was going out of business. We picked them up for pretty cheap, which is also good.
It's the best way to do those things. All right. Let's move on here because we know we got another studio in here. Cause I know, cause I've been in these studios. The kitchen. Yeah. Every place has to. Now we know they have a great kitchen over at Dave and Dave. This one's nice too.
It's soft. It does its thing. You know, we got, coffee and fridge and water and you know, dishwasher.
Water is important for us voice actors.
Yes.
All right.
So next we'll check out our, this is our self-service booth.
Okay.
And I'm actually really proud of this space. It's, you know, especially I aimed it kind of at people who do audiobooks and don't have a space or starting out. They're moving. the booth is down, my equipment doesn't work, Windows malware screwed up my day, whatever. And so you can come in and do this. So I aimed it at having kind of the ultimate home setup that someone could put together. So it's that. If you look here, I just did this. We have an X32 rack that I mounted in the desk. An Edge Studio coach is going to be in here doing some coaching. So I kind of set this up to be easy to do some coaching in here. This is a great space. I don't know if you want to check out
let's take a look at the booth here. Ooh, velour. Okay.
All right. We have a standing desk in here and right here with, mic and music stand and computer on thing, so the actor can do whatever they need in here. But the standing desk so that they can sit and stand. And iterated on this. I had one that didn't have the standing desk and it really didn't work out well because people are taller and shorter and so it makes a big difference being able to move around and sit or stand or whatever. So
Okay. Well, in that case, we'll move out of the dead zone here.
So we can see what. You are. All right. Yeah.
Oh.
So we can pop our heads
yeah.
here. Yeah.
Hi, Noel. Nice to see you.
Nice
how you
to
doing?
See you again in person. Hi, George.
So what have you been working on today?
Today I am coaching for Edge Studio. So I had a session earlier. I'm in between sessions right now and I have another student coming in 2 minutes. So yeah, a little voiceover coaching happening.
How long have you been working here?
Well, let's see. I moved out in 2010. So it'll be 7 years in January that I've been working out here in VoiceTrax. And that's also how I met Andrew, my fiance. So I can blame you. I can blame George Whittam for that. Yeah. If you hadn't, hooked Edge up with that, I would have never met my fiance. So cool.
I'm very proud of that.
He should
microphone.
Be.
Yeah, very proud of that. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, this one's a little bit different from the other studios, too. A little smaller and... Color scheme certainly is different.
For sure. So yeah, this is in. So this this whole part of the studio we took this over from an esthetician who is in here, and so this room and that room were her two esthetician rooms.
Esthetician,
yeah, so like facials and that kind of stuff, right? So so these were the two rooms she worked out of, and then when I took it over, I punched a hole in the wall that we walked through, and then did a room in a room and put a window in and all that. So yeah, so these two rooms. Turned out to be 6x10. They're both the same size. And so certainly it's great for a booth, a little small for a control room, but it gets the job done. Since we mostly don't have people here, it's perfectly fine. And same thing, we have an ISDN in here as well. So we have a Sony digital mixer in here, mostly because it's very small. And it was pre X32, but it fits in here nicely and does everything we need. what did I say?
Sony.
Yamaha. Sorry. Yes. So Yamaha, and then otherwise, like the equipment's all the same. Other than that, the chain is all the same. Speakers are I don't even know because it sounds like crap in here. You wouldn't want to mix anything in here. It sounds terrible. But it's good just for playback and doing that stuff. So this is a great space. The booth is wonderful, and we got a great TV in there, and it's a real comfortable. And these booths are, I built these ones myself, or sort of managed, contracted building these. George helped as well, came in and advised on a couple of parts of this when we were doing it. And they're like really quiet, and it's, we're kind of, real proud of these ones too. But I guess these ones are the ones I did. The other ones were kind of before I came on.
All right. Do we want to take a look at the other booth here? Okay. Okay. Interesting artwork in here. I take it monkeys is somewhat of a theme around here.
It was somewhat the previous owner that I took over from. She had kind of bought these, and they've just stayed around because they're hilarious. So it's this is my favorite actually. Yeah, Admiral Monkey. That one used to be in our bathroom actually. So, yeah, for sure.
Definite bathroom art. Okay, what do we got in here now? This is this particular booth. I always found the sliding glass door in here kind of fascinating.
Yeah, I did. I went a little overboard just because I didn't know how far to go. And so I did, this huge door, which I actually bought. Did I buy it from you, George? Via George or something, I bought that. And actually the panes of glass that are in there, I got them. But then I needed extra, so I got these $1,500 sliding glass doors as well, just to make sure. And so that's... So it's real quiet in here. I will probably redo the treatment in this room next time I get a chance, maybe next year, because it's good, but it's not great. And I more noticed that once we redid the other booth, how great that came out. And actually, I'll be much quicker doing the next one because it was really slow on that last one, but it turned out really great. So at some point, we'll redo this one. So, it looks good in here for sure. It's got a fun pattern, but the sound could improve just a little.
But you're using a 416 in here, so that mitigates that a little bit.
It does, yeah. Actually, it's I'd say this one is better than B, the small booth, but not as good as A. But they're all really good. This is our, like the corner that I have a little reflection. These are small increments of good. Yeah, yeah.
All righty. All right, well, how are we doing on juice on that thing, George? Ooh, I think we got just enough to look at maybe one more. Well, we have to look at the front here. Say hello to Art.
Hello.
Art, how you doing?
Okay. Hi. Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Now, you're responsible for auditions and stuff here?
Yeah.
What does that involve?
It's basically you come by and do your auditions and I'll direct you and then send it where it needs to go. It's the audition to go sort of concept. But yeah, I've been doing that a while here, actually. I think 10 years actually now. But this is where I direct from. And then that little booth over there, little closet sized booth over there is where the magic actually happens.
And how many auditions usually a day you do it in here?
About 10, I guess. We do it in 15-minute increments, so half-hour blocks. $1 a minute.
Wow. That's quite a deal.
Yeah. So when people have, people have their home studios and they just kind of want to get direction, just don't want to do it on their own, spend, 45 minutes on a 30-second spot.
Right.
And so, I'll give them direction and get them on their way.
So if someone's at home and they're working in their home studio, they can call you and you can listen in.
Yeah.
So you do it this way or try it that way.
Yeah. That's what I've been doing for 20 years. So yeah, I have a rhythm at this point.
And figured you know what you're doing by now.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well,
is it always on site auditions or do you do some of that by Skype too?
One person has an ISDN studio that they call in from. Like regularly, and then someone else is doing the Source Connect now over the through Chrome, which is that's great. I mean,
we're using it tonight actually.
That's how great it is. See, it's ubiquitous. But yeah, I mean, it's great because I can just direct from there, and it's pretty much as if they're here. I mean, it works well so far.
Yeah. So far, it's working for us tonight. So, all right, let's take a quick look at the lobby here, too. Thanks, Art. Appreciate it. Yeah, there's Sue again, and this is the lobby, and this is by far the acoustically nicest room in the entire place. You can actually hear. Yes, of course. The very busy copy machine where spots are spit out almost constantly. You must go through a lot of paper here.
Not as much as you might think. Cause you do spots that are, a few pages, and stuff. And it actually isn't take that much pages. It's only if you do narration or if you do animation, you know, where you're printing out, you know, 30, 40 pages, a bunch of those. But if we're doing, you know, we do a lot of commercial stuff. And so that tends to be one, two pages. So it's not too bad, but we do need a workhorse, you know, just because it needs to be fast and scanning contracts and all that stuff. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
All right. And you have obviously have very loyal staff because they just never leave.
Yeah. This is true. It's, there. Yeah. We're all here kind of a lot, but not too much. You know, this is, you know, voiceover, it's kind of 9 to 5, which is, you know, in recording and entertainment, that's kind of a rare thing.
Well, we appreciate everybody coming in tonight. All right, let's go back into the main studio here so we can, like, get George back to the switcher so we can actually take a break. So this is Voice Tracks West. This tour looks like it actually went pretty well this time.
What do you know?
Yeah, we'll find out when we get home. Looks like it's working. Come on in, Andrew. We'll. All right. Oh yeah, we gotta turn on the speakers here. Okay, yeah. Right, that's what we're gonna do. So if you've got a question for
anything about this type of recording studio or questions about the classes they have and some of the stuff they do, go in the chat room right now if you're there. And Anthony, I know, is in there taking notes and giving us the questions for Andrew. And we'll be right back answering those here on VoiceOver Body Shop. So do not go away.
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
Every Monday,
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
All right, you know, one of our favorite people in the entire world, aside from Andrew, who we know really well, is Harlan Hogan over at voiceoveressentials.com. And being the great guy that he is, they had a very good Black Friday this year, and they were very pleased with the results, as I think many retailers were. But, you know, today is, what do they call it?
Cyber Monday.
Well, he's still running the Black Friday specials tonight. And even though it's a little later in the East, he's going to honor his Black Friday promotion tonight. So if you want to get something for yourself or for your voiceover loved one for the holiday season, go over there now to get the best deals on some of the stuff he has over there. The Portabooth, the Portabooth Pro, the Portabooth Plus, the Harlan Hogan VO1A, always a great gift because it's a great microphone at a great price point. The spit guards, your pop screens. He's got the ABS that will hold your boom in place. Always very important. But now's the time to go over there because it's still Black Friday, even though it is Cyber Monday. So go over to voiceoveressentials.com. If you're watching on our page, which you should be, just look down there. Look for the picture of Harlan talking into his Portabooth Pro in that special rack that he has made for the Portabooth Pro. And click on that. That will take you right over there, and it'll talk about all the specials they've got going on right now. So go do that. And Harlan, thank you so much for being our sponsor for all this time. Why does he do it? Because he knows where the voice actors are. They're watching VoiceOver Body Shop, so we appreciate that. All right, we're going to answer your questions in just a minute.
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS in VOBS.TV.
Okay, get in here, Andrew. We got lots of questions here.
All right. Get cozy.
Yeah, really. All right. Starting with Anthony, who's running the chat room tonight, but he always has good questions. He asks, are you using any outboard gear, or is everything in the box at Voice Tracks West?
So we tend to not do things in the box, except for audio processing for mixing. So you saw in every room we have external mixers. So we go through those mixers into Pro Tools, through those mixers into ISDN, from there to the phone patch. So we don't do any internal routing with Pro Tools, and I know that's a lot of places go to that for doing that. And we just don't, because, I don't know, it just hasn't been what we've done, and it works really well, because if Pro Tools explodes, you know, especially if it's remote, we can still do, you know, keep those things going. It also, we're not dependent on the latency of Pro Tools. If we're doing, you know, ISDN and doing those things, we have this kind of separate control. That being said, the one thing where we do outboard is our mic freeze, of course, and so we have a few of kind of variations of that. We use a liquid channel for one particular job, and we have a finalizer, which is this like mastering compressor that we use for one particular job that we do. But other than that, not really. Compressors, outboard compressors, which mostly we use just for classes. If I could, at some point I'll get like a really nice, you know, $2,000 compressor that we can use for certain things and go and use that as we're tracking. But at the moment we just don't, because most people want to do their own compression. So we record raw and that. So anyway, long answer to a short question.
No, but that's the way I would do it too. So it's good to know the big guys are doing that as well.
I got one.
Okay, go for it.
This one came in from Michael Bleha. What's been the most technologically challenging job to do? And the
aside
most
from
fun.
Tonight.
The most yeah. fun? Is it the same thing, technologically challenging and fun? So what stands out in your mind?
I'm going to go just to, because this has been, so this is one that is a little bit for me. So I started, you know, my background is in technology, so I have an undergraduate degree in computer science. And so we got 6 years ago into doing a, it was a phone system for U.S. Airways. Now it's American. So if anyone calls American Airways, we've recorded everything that's on the American Airlines, you know, phone system over the last 5 years. And when they started that, it was kind of a hybrid text-to-speech. They were approaching it like a text-to-speech voice, which is like Siri or the Google Voice or things that talk back to you on the phone. That's a text-to-speech, you know. And so they approach it like that. And so it was technically challenging because as I showed in our booth where we have that tape, is you know, there's a lot of precision that goes into that, because the, you know, you say you want to match a commercial from something you did last week, the level of matching you need to do is actually not that tight. I mean, it's pretty tight, you know, to our own ears, but this one is very tight. I mean, we're measuring things and getting mic placement and you know, to the actor's voice, and you know, controlling their projection level very closely with what is fed to their headphones. And also, all of those moving parts is pretty challenging. And, you know, how do we repeat that? How do we put up a mic stand in the exact same place every time? And actually, you know, over the last five, and so we've done more stuff. And so over the last 5 years, we've refined that. And I don't know, it's been a lot of fun doing that. You know, sometimes not fun because we're, you know, having issues or we don't quite get at the work. But in the end, we're doing something, you know, highly technical and specialized. And so I think part of that, my tech background, you know, I enjoy that.
Makes sense. Maxine Dunn asks, question for you, do you keep regular office hours at your studio, or do you do night sessions as well?
Regular office hours are 9 to 5, essentially. You know, we do keep regular office hours. And that does follow what, especially commercial voiceover, because that's what those, you know, advertising agencies, they're following office hours for the most part. And so, yeah, so for the most part, that's it. You know, Art's here, our butler's here 10 to 5. I'm usually here 8 to 7, but not every day, though. But we'll be here for sessions at night for sure, if upon request. Sometimes that does happen. And classes, obviously, there's an engineer that comes in at night for classes. You know, so those are an exception. We're doing a Source Connect narration with time code on Saturday, this coming Saturday, for something. And so that'll be that. So it's kind of, you know, 9 to 5 unless on a request.
Yeah. So. I sort of forgot to ask Art and Susan, how do you make appointments, say, if you want to use the, you know, the small studio or get some coaching while you're doing your audition?
Yeah, so the best thing is just to call, you know, voicetrackswest.com has our number there, and or you can, you know, email me, Andrew at voicetrackswest.com.
and yeah, just either one of those. And I, you know, I tend to do a lot of the scheduling, and or whoever else answers can do that. And then Susan's obvious for demos, like getting, you know, that's a little more longer of a process, but we can kind of start the conversation and, you know, set up a meet and greet with her if you're interested in doing that.
Very cool. Shelly has a question?
Yeah, Shelly's got one. You guys really have the human element here. That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I know from trying to run my own company, like almost completely by myself, you try to automate too much and you lose that human element. So the fact that you're here answering the phone and you're basically at the desk most of the time, right?
I am, yeah. And it's, you know, it's actually been a challenge. I've been trying to actually get off the desk for a number of years, and it's a challenge to just transfer that to someone else, transfer that knowledge to someone else. But to also transfer myself to doing something else. And so, but it does, it certainly does help having that. Don't get me wrong, I automate as much as I can, but only the stuff that is, you know, makes sense to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've gone overboard. Trust me, I know what it's like. Shelley asks, as you specialize in VO, how has the industry changed as far as you guys are concerned since you started working at the studio? So what has been your perspective of the shift in the way things work around the VO world?
Yeah, it's so the recording's the same. Like all the stuff that we do is mostly the same. We've added a few things that we do, but the biggest thing is the kind of home studio thing, right? Which is the whole point of this whole podcast,
right?
Is that, and you know, that really wasn't a thing. And right, I'm sure. Let's see, I think like Don was probably still, I think, driving around in 2002. But shortly after that, you know, he, you know, went, you know, into the studio very early on, and there's a few other people that did. And now it's, you know, so many people do, and so we just, you know, understand that and work with it. And you know, there's the things like these complicated source connect sessions, you know, can be challenging to do at a home studio, But then we have the, you know, the front booth. So the things that have changed is just sort of adapting and working with that. But other than that, I mean, the phone patch is the same as it was 10 years ago, my 15 years ago.
Are people still using phone patches?
Oh, yeah, like crazy. Yeah. Conference calls, tons of conference calls. You know, a lot of, because it's like these places are, you know, they're advertising companies. They just work in an office or a cubicle. Right. And so, or they might be, you know, in a bunch of different places, and they're comfortable with conference calls. They do their own conference calls. Sometimes it'll be, we'll use something like Zoom or Skype or, you know, Google Hangouts or, you know, anything to, you know, connect people like that. But conference calls are very common still, for sure. And, we just record it, you know, and send it over to whoever's finishing it.
Yeah. And Anthony has a follow-up to that. He says, where do you see the voiceover industry going, especially for work-at-home talents in the next 5 years or 10 years? Any thoughts on that?
It will get easier to be at home, mostly from the equipment side. I think that will continue to get easier. You know, the challenge, of course, is always the where you are, the sound of what's of your environment. You know, is always the most challenging thing. I don't know. Would you agree?
Yeah,
with that, right?
You know, we hope and make it easier.
Yeah,
for people.
Yeah. And so, but the equipment actually is pretty easy now, and pretty inexpensive. And so I think that trajectory will just, you know, go. We'll see where, you know, what's interesting is actually where the kind of union, non-union, and where that, you know, is continuing to evolve.
Right.
You know, I think that's kind of the big thing, because of course you have the Voice 123 and Voices and, you know, all these different things, and you know, and that will just continue to be. But as far as us, you know, ADR for movies, doing like these Texas speech kind of things, or doing you know, really long term animation, you know, all that stuff is, I actually don't think it's not going to change very much. You know, these studios that are all around town doing this, you know, what Muck Grau does and what Dave and Dave does and stuff will, I think, will just kind of be, it might change. We might lose some things to the home. But that's actually okay, because then we'll do the things that are more complex,
right,
and harder for you to be the engineer and talent.
Right. But you're also working with people at home, which is a great service.
Actually, that's right. We certainly do work with
It's grown a little bit over the years where we'll connect to people ISDN or connect to people at home, where then the clients come to us, or sure. we phone patch in a client while we're source connecting with someone at their home studio.
Right.
So then that relieves the you know you from doing that part of it, and then we can also do playback and edits and do those kind of things. So you know there's always those things, and that's you actually a good point.
Yeah, you can't do everything yourself all the time. The logistics of handling some of those sessions can be a nightmare.
Yeah, for sure. And so so there'll be just it kind of depends. You know, different jobs will require different things.
Yeah. Another one came in, right?
Well, Devox has a question. I think you can ask this one.
All right. Well, I'll ask. There's one from Maxine. I'll get that one in. And then, do you ever do? This is from Maxine Dunn. Sorry, Maxine. Do you ever do voiceovers yourself, or only the engineering side? Because you've got a really unique voice, she says.
Oh, thank you, Maxine. I've considered it. And as you saw, my fiance is a voiceover coach, and I have Susan or whatever. I have all these things. You know, I've been listening to this for 10 years. My stock answer is there's so much time in the day. And it's something that, maybe I would give it a shot. But I've always also thought if I'm going to do it, I want to do it. And I want to really, there's people who really want it and will put the work in and do it. And I don't know. I wouldn't want to do it unless I'm going to sort of actually do that. Maybe I can get to a point where everything is just kind of running and humming along, and I'd be like, I need to do something, and then I can throw myself at that. I would certainly have all the knowledge. It's another thing if I can then make my voice do that. You know, what's in my brain, right? That's always the trick, is connecting your thoughts to your voice. But
they haven't actually dragged you into the studio if they needed an extra voice or something like that?
I mean, it's been an occasionally, do something. Mostly it's like, can you hear us? Right. I do that test. It's who knows? Who knows what the future is?
I know exactly what you mean, because I've thought about it. I've even taken a little bit of coaching, just enough to know that if I was going to really do this, I'd have to put a huge amount of time and work into it. And I'd have to stop what I'm doing now. I couldn't do both. It just couldn't happen.
For sure. So. I took Susan's class years and years ago. And actually, Art took Susan's class as well. That's how he got into doing voiceover, his kickstart. But he really focused on that. I'd been in the booth so many times, years and years before that, and how nervous I was when I got in the, I couldn't believe it. I was like so surprised how's my chest all tight?
You get used to it.
Yeah, for sure. But it was such a strange thing to, be in that booth so often and then be a little nervous. So maybe me and George will go on a quest someday. We'll partner up and challenge each other to do voiceover.
Definitely. We'll have to see how that goes. this one could get a little deep, and maybe we'll keep this one short because we got it late. But from Devox, regarding home studios, any unusual golden nuggets you can share regarding building a studio or recording, editing, and mastering? And he says, the more detailed and arcane, the better. Devox, do you have any idea what you're talking about here?
he wants all the answers now.
I mean, I would start that with less is more.
Yay!
Whatever, you have your room tight and you have your, good enough, sounding good for whatever auditions or broadcasts or whatever you need, and, a few takes and button that up, trim the ends, normalize that, and send it out. And really, that's the golden nugget right there, is don't labor it. If you're putting so much time into it, if you're auditioning, you did the work already. And so, trust your subconscious that you're putting out a good take. Just adding to that is often you think you're doing it different. So take 20 is probably not that much different to take 3, right? Would you probably agree even from your own experience? And so just knowing that if you're going to do something different, do something different. A take 2, that's going to be a very different take 2. And even to my ears, I think they just, do a different one. That sounded different. Then I listen back and it's like, that's not really that different. Mm-hmm. That's that. As far as other things,
that could be a whole masterclass, my friend.
For sure, that's a long but home studio. That's the thing. It should be simple. It should be get to what you need and get it out and go watch TV.
All righty. Well, great. Andrew, thank you so much for inviting us over here and showing us this great facility. It's much bigger than I thought. I mean, I've been in a couple of studios, but it's like going through the Enterprise.
Yeah, yeah. We have like 1,500 square feet here total. And
We
have one little storage room that I didn't talk about, which is a disaster, because that's where everything else is.
Sorry we missed that one. All righty. Well, we're going to be back to wrap things up in a nice tight little bow right after this.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We pick the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittem.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Well, that's going to do it for Studio Month.
It's been a good one.
It has.
It's been a challenge. It's been a test of patience, not just for us, but for our audience as well.
Yeah, I'd say you guys are amazing if you hung out for these four shows.
We are going to make a revisit to at least one of these studios, and that would be Mark Rouse Studio.
Yeah.
We had some serious audio dropouts, and it just made the show hard. Maybe we'll go through and pull out some nuggets, maybe, or some essentials from that one.
Yeah.
But we owe Mark another visit. We're going to do a retake of his, maybe early next year.
It was fun being there.
It was. Now we want to go back and do it justice. But we've learned a lot in this process, and we've had fun doing it. Even if we don't always look like we're having fun, it is fun solving these problems and doing something unique like this is a blast.
Nobody else has tried this live.
I don't know. I don't think so. Not in our business.
And now you know why.
They're not crazy.
Anyway, that's going to do it for Studio Month. We get back in our own comfy little studio next month. Yeah. Things have been piling up in there. It's like, this is now a storage room. We haven't been here for four weeks.
The studio has like bits and bobs from all of our remote rigs that we built and taken apart and things that didn't work. And it's just, it's crazy in there.
Yeah. But next week, back in our own little studio, we start off the holiday season really nice because we've got a great guy. Scott Parkin is going to be with us.
Oh, man. He's freaking great. Funny and just a super cool, nice guy.
We should have a fun time with him. So that's next Monday night, live from the VoiceOver Body Shop actual studio. And if you want to be in our audience,
you should email us.
Email us. If you're here in the Los Angeles area and you want to join us in our studio, write to us at theguys@vobs.tv. And let us know that you're going to be around. We have food.
We always
and
get
water.
Snacks.
And
a really cool bathroom.
A really cool bathroom. do not want to miss the bathroom. Yeah. Who are our donors of the week?
Oh man, we got some familiar names and a couple new ones. We got Eric Aragone. You may have heard of him
once in a while.
Greg Thomas. That's a new one to me, I think. Thanks, Greg. Michael Martin, Diana Birdsall, PattyGibbons.com.
Her name is .com?
It's on her birth certificate.
Okay, cool.
Amanda Fellows, Brian Page, George Whittem. That's my dad.
Thanks,
Dad. David Smith, the Lion's Den Production.
And
the last name on this list is Thomas Pinto. The guy who initially built this place is donating to the show. I think that's so cool.
Very cool. All right. I ordered my VOBS polo shirt. Came in the mail today.
Nice, man.
Can't wait to put that on and strut around town.
Wear them together.
Yes, but you can get all sorts of VOBS logo gear right here. Let's see.
If you're watching the show on our website.
It's right over here. It's a big red banner. Click on that. Everything you could possibly put a VOBS logo on is there.
Things that you shouldn't.
Who says you shouldn't? You'll see what I mean. Yeah, okay, that's fine. What's going on at Edge?
We're promoting our, guess what, Black Friday Cyber Monday sale like nobody else is doing it. We've got a couple different ones, but the one that's near and dear to my heart is the tech side of things. If you buy anything at the EdgeStudioTechnology.com site, where all of my world exists and all of our tech team and our home studio support squad, make sure you use Cyber 2016 in capital letters, Cyber, CYBER 2016 for 25% off all services.
All of them.
And that expires on midnight Wednesday, So we're getting a whole, you're getting a whole extra bonus cyber day out of this deal. So I know some of you are procrastinating. Time to stop procrastinating.
Now's the time.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Show logs. Jack's had a tough month with us. You know, what did he say?
But he's still doing it.
But he still does it.
And he gets pictures. Like, he takes great shots from the show and he posts them on the...
Absolutely. Show logs. They're available right above us here. So you can get every word that we said. The podcast on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, eWebs at .podbean.com. And, you know, we're live every Monday here. We're live. But you can also watch the show on YouTube.
That's right.
You know, yeah. We haven't done Facebook Live yet. I mean, in various
places. We've dabbled.
Forget about it. Yeah, yeah. It's fun for 5 minutes.
Right. And if you're listening to the podcast and you want to see what it is to be here live, that's 6 p.m. Monday night, Pacific time. And you can be in the chat room.
All right. Also, send in your VO for the opening promo.
Yeah, we are still using other guest VOs on the opening.
Yeah, I know we'll have a new one next week from one of our favorite guys.
Oh, cool.
Because he sent it in. And so we invite you to try that. We told you about being in the audience, but we do need to thank our sponsors. Of course, Harlan Hogan.
That's right. Voice Over Extra.
Edge Studio, your employers.
Source Elements.
VO2GoGo and Rehearsal App, which you can get at rehearsal.pro. Check it out. And finally, Antland's Killer Demos. And all of these guys for helping us make all of this technological miracle happen week after week. Alrighty. Well, that's going to do it for us. We need to thank, of course, you. Because he did all the work this week.
Name in there.
An excellent job of engineering.
Thanks, man. It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Like we said, it's been very educational. Our producer, Catherine Curtin, for setting up all these great studio tours that we've been doing this month. Mm-hmm. Anthony Gettig for a great job in the
chat room.
The chat room. Yeah, Shelley Avellino, who was there as well today. Everybody was there tonight.
She's filling in a little bit.
That's right. And Andy Buschwitz when he's around.
Yeah, tonight he's traveling. He actually went on vacation, I think.
That's right.
So he deserves a break once in a while.
And, of course, Jack DeGoldia for the show notes and Lee Pinney just for simply being Lee Pinney. Well, that's going to do it for us. And that's all for Studio Month.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. All right. We'll see you next Monday night with Scott Parkin here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Have a fabulous week, everybody, and a wonderful December. It's getting colder here.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.
Night, everybody. I gotta go over here and
click that thing. And
which is the button that turns the show off again?
That one.
Is that there. One?
You're listening to VOBS.